Well, good morning, Ridge. Hey, everybody. My name is Andy Ginn. If I haven't met you, I'm the lead pastor here at The Ridge, and we're going to have a little bit of different message. It's not just going to be me, but I've got some guys up here, and we're going to talk through what does it look like in fatherhood when God is present? How is God present in fatherhood? Honestly, we're going to talk very vulnerably about being a guy and the thoughts that come through our minds and the ways in which we as a church body come together as this group of men specifically. But ladies, I promise you, there's a part of this that you'll be able to get, where you'll be able to really hear the heart of a father, maybe hear the heart of your husband. Maybe we say something up here that it just clicks for you, like, oh, no wonder he's distant in this way. No wonder this happens when he's yelling at our kids or whatever it may be. I kind of hope that drips off into you. But I also want you to know today that if you are out here as a man among us, whether you're a biological father or not, you are a father figure. I was blessed yesterday. I invited a group of men out to do dinner together that were all father figures for me. None of them were my biological father, but they all represented Christ to me. They all helped raise me and be a part of my life to know Jesus as I do today. And I'm incredibly thankful for the men in my life for that. But I'm also incredibly thankful for y'all as a church body, because I have children that I entrust you as spiritual parents for them. When they take baptismal vows, like we're going to have a baptism following this service, one of the things that the church has asked is, will you help raise this individual to understand and know Christ fully? And so, to be fair, we all have a parental role. And so I hope our conversation today can just edge that out even more. When I think of being a father, Scripture speaks of God as a father often. Jesus, we know, one of the famous prayers, of course, the Lord's Prayer, he begins that with our Father who art in heaven, calling God our Father, not just his, but ours. We also see throughout Scripture how the character of God is that of a father, caring, compassionate, and one who does punish, does discipline in ways, but is always coming with agape, unconditional love. And so the passage I have that I wanted to share with you today is just out of Psalm 103, and it's verse 13. And it says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. This is not to say, guys, that you're supposed to be like Sully from Monsters, Inc., walk in your kid's room when they're asleep and go, ah, and scare them, and then they'll be tender and compassionate. It is meant as a sign of respect. That word fear in the Old Testament was always a sign of reverence and respect to the Lord, and also understanding what the Lord could do. And so it's talking about God as his character is fatherhood. And so I wanted to begin our conversation today by y'all introducing yourselves. But when I say the word fatherhood, what is the first word that comes to mind?
Well, my name's Joel Fitz, and I got two words that come to mind, and they're not going to be found on any Father's Day card. You know, you think of love and all this, but to me, the first word that comes to mind is the word responsibility. And I think that responsibility, and the second one is dedication. Because I believe those two things are part of what we consider unconditional love, because it's the part that draws you through the times that are tough, the frustrating, the anger, the, all those negative parts of life. So those are, you know, and the reason why responsibility, I saw a video one time of Denzel Washington, and it's a movie that he's in, and he's talking to his son. He says, boy, why do you think I do this for you? He goes, because you love me. He said, love you? He said, love ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm responsible for you. Yeah. But I started thinking about that when I saw that, and to me, I have a responsibility that was given to me, that was mandated to me by God. And that's why responsibility is such a big thing, because responsibility, they're teenagers, y'all, and the struggle is real. And anybody who's had teenagers know probably 80, 85% of the time is going to be spent in some type of moody frustration talk. But when you're not, it's those times when you're like, you don't understand. When you're telling me, son, that you don't want me to do this or you don't care, you can't release me from this responsibility because it wasn't given to me by you.
Amen.
It was given to me by God. Mm-hmm. So I'm responsible and dedicated to stick with it even when I don't want to.
Amen.
I'm Brandon Underwood, and I always think of just example as Christ gives us the example on how to live, how to love each other, how to treat each other, how to act. we are that for our children. Like, I am the example for my son and my daughter of how to go on in the world. If they see us doing something, they're going to follow suit. Same if, you know, if they hear you say something, you know, they're going to mirror it and, you know, say it right back to you. That's, you know, we've got to remember that and use those to just follow suit. And, you know, if they see you reading the Bible, if they see you worshiping, if they see you praying, they're going to follow suit and do that. And
amen.
Hi, I'm Shane Humphreys. I'm ADHD, so I will squirrel on you in a minute. But I am very pleased and happy to hear that Joel's teenagers are 85% good. Or was it bad?
I don't know.
Yeah. So yes. mine vary. It's usually in the high 90s. Love them. But when it comes to fatherhood for me, I'm glad to hear that, you know, some of my brothers in Christ, and especially the men in the church, we all seem to kind of hover around the same aspect, and that's guiding and leading our children the way that God has called us to guide and lead. And a big one for me, especially my wife said it yesterday, and one thing some of y'all may not know about me is I'm very emotional. I'm extroverted, but I'm emotional. And for some reason, my family decided to come to the second one, so I'm probably going to end up crying. But it's humble. It's humility. Mm. It's meekness. You know, even being an extrovert, I'm still as humble and as meek as I can be, and I really want to instill that in my children because, you know, Jesus in the Bible says that the meek will inherit the earth, and your humility speaks volumes for God and who He is, and what He wants from us. So I try to really instill that in my kids to be humble and meek and caring and loving.
I appreciate that, guys. My when I think of being a father, I think of the word blessing. But I think about it from multiple angles. So when we were thinking about having kids at some point in my life, I came into a diagnosis that said I would never have children. But the doctor said we could do a procedure to maybe change that by a minor percentage. And I'm blessed to have two children of my own. Well, alongside Leslie, obviously. But I'm blessed to have two children. But I'm also blessed because I was a youth pastor for like 7 years. And I can share with you all that when you live fully in the church, when you serve in the church, when you give back to your church community, you, without even being aware of it, you become a spiritual father for a lot of people. And so I've become a spiritual father for a lot of young students that have come to know Jesus through conversations at a dining room table or have watched me love my wife so well that they want to love their spouse in the future that way. And so you set an example to where, like, this past year in May, last month, I sat at the graduation of three of my students who I'm really the only male role model they've had. Their dad was out of the picture very early, and they wrote thank you cards that talked about fatherhood and father figure and all this kind of stuff. And I appreciated that because you never know the effect you have on others. And as men who have older students, y'all are probably aware of this, of how, like, there are men in this church, Nathan probably being the main one, that you entrust your kids to be spiritually raised by. I mean, my kids were baptized in the Methodist church, and part of that vow that we take as a church is that you all will help me raise them. Praise God, I don't do it by myself, because y'all represent Christ. You represent the scripture that's read too, not only from us at home, but living it yourself. And so when I think of fatherhood, I think of that. I'm blessed because I get to be that for other people, and other people get to be that for my family too. And so, Shane, I want to start with you. What does being a father mean to you?
I'm going to take a page out of Joel's book. I'm not very, man, I'm telling you, I got to do it. I'm not unscripted, unlike our pastor up here, who's scripted. I've learned it's frowned upon to wing it. I'm just speaking from past experience.
Look, man, I'm sorry. I'm the only one that's prepared, fellas.
Being a father to me really honestly means everything. All of us were raised differently. We were all raised with different experiences as fathers. Some of us had fathers, stepfathers, non-biological fathers, adoptive fathers. you know, all walks and types of fathers. Some of us had really good childhoods. Some of us had childhoods we wish we could forget. But to be a father to me is to try and instill something into my children and give them an experience in life that I didn't get as a kid. Some of my happier moments come as an adult. They stem from my wife and my kids. There was a point, kind of like you, it wasn't my fault, it was hers, that we didn't know if we would be able to have kids. That's why I wear them proudly on my arm, because we were able to have children. We were able to, you know, bring that creation to life with God's help. And, you know, of course, through man, but, we, you know, it all comes through God. But being a father means everything to me. I want to be able to give my children a life and hopefully make them better than I am. You know, that was my goal in life, be better than the example that I had. And I hope that my kids can take that, too, and be better than I ever was for them.
Brandon, how about you? What does being a father mean to you? I know that's a different question than I asked you in the first service. So, well, look, man, I can go scriptless. Like, I'm actually really good at this. Yeah. Threatening me with a good time.
Man, it's something that I never asked for. It was given to me. I grew up not wanting to be a dad, not wanting to have kids. I was perfectly content being the uncle in the house or being the godfather. But Jessica came into my life as a widow and having two young children. So God presented that to me, and it has become very much ingrained in who I am. And, you know, through the kids, I've been led back to Christ and been back to the church. If it wasn't for the kids and wanting to keep the kids in a good environment, then we wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be up here talking, and you know, I wouldn't be serving, doing stuff with these guys. You know, it has become a large part of who I am, and it's seeped into every aspect of my life. So. Yeah. Being a father now is just something I can't imagine not being, and something I can't turn off despite just never, you know, never wanting it.
Right.
So
when it goes back to that example word that you used, it sounds like just fatherhood for you can always been leading from that place, because you've come in and kind of your kid's most formative years through the woman you love. And so there's a responsibility. All those words coming around.
And I was very blessed at that same time. I was put into a new career path and a new job where I was surrounded by godly men and good examples of fatherhood to where I could lean on, because Joel said it earlier that in the early service that he didn't get an instruction book, you know, when they took him home from I'm sorry.
You gotta stop using my stuff.
It's
man.
Too good. It's too good. But
hey, pull out your cheat sheet, man. I'm sure you got more in on there.
You got the sheet.
Y'all keep on taking my stuff.
But you know, you know, you didn't get an instruction book. I didn't either. Like, and, you know, so it was, I very much had to lean on guys that do this better than I do and know more than I do. And thankfully, God has surrounded me with all of those people.
Amen.
So,
would you like to go next? You want me to ask you a different question?
I've got to now. I mean, let's be real. Being a parent is rough. Like he said, I said earlier, when I left the hospital, I don't know about y'all, but they didn't say, all right, here's some diapers, and here's a book on how you're going to raise Carter. This is how you're going to raise Brody. It's got everything in there. If y'all got that, I need to know what hospital you were at, because I need to go back and pick it back up. Because I'm figuring out as I go. You know, I've had to tell my kids, dude, I've never been a parent of a preteen. I don't know how to react. Right. And I get it wrong a lot. And I mean, that's just the long and the short of it. I think being a father is being real with them. I've told them at an early age, I'm not going to get it right all the time.
Right.
And I've had to go and apologize to them. And I think that's huge in making sure they know that when you're wrong, it's okay to apologize.
Right.
And it's, I mean, it lets them be, realize that we're going through the same struggles. I understand that you got hormones going 90 to nothing and you can't control what you're going through. But you know what? I've got a lot of things going on at work, and we've got all of this going on and this and that. And sometimes I can't control my reactions too. I mean, I just did it yesterday. I mean, I messed up yesterday. I know that's a surprise for most of y'all.
Yeah, we thought you were perfect before you got up here, so.
I'm close to it. It's like, you know, right here.
Yeah, it's like Jesus and
but
you.
But, like, I had to go back.
Mother Teresa's right there below.
Yeah. Well, kind of on the same level. Yeah. I've talked to her for a couple of times. But but I had to apologize yesterday. I was like, son, I lost it. I don't know why I lost it. It was stupid. I get it. I'm sorry. But I think being a father is really being relaxed on yourself to make mistakes and realize one mistake. This is my toughest thing, okay? To be honest with you, I see I didn't share this last time, so y'all can't. My biggest fear is that this mistake is going to translate into bigger mistakes, when in reality, it's just a mistake right now.
Right.
That's so hard for me to figure out and for me to grasp. I think that's
the element of shame, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, because you don't want people to make a mistake, or you don't want to make mistakes.
Sure.
You got to be vulnerable.
Do it.
Is that a knock on me?
I said it's an element of shame and not shame.
Shame.
But
shame.
It's an element of shame, too. Yeah, he makes mistakes all the time. I mean, gosh.
Amen to that.
But, I mean, I think that's really what being just a parent in general is realizing you're going to make mistakes, but enjoy them.
Yeah, I tell the kids all the time that being a dad is the hardest thing that I have to do every day. Mm-hmm. And it's not to make them feel bad or anything, but just to kind of help them understand, like, I'm not going to get it right every time. This is an incredibly tough job, and it's hard. So, like you said, mistakes get made, and I'm not perfect, and sometimes it's going to look really pretty, and it's going to, you know, picturesque on the wall, and sometimes it's not. It's going to look ugly, and then I have to come into the room and apologize later, and, you know, so it's a tough thing.
I think I look back, and the main thing that I hope that they see is they know that I love them. Right?
Amen.
I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. But dang it, I sure do love y'all.
Well, I think as men, as parents in general, I was sharing with our early service, and I should kind of share it at the end, but I'll even share it now, is for ladies in the audience. I think as men, naturally, we struggle to be very vulnerable because we're supposed to protect and provide for our family. And being vulnerable, being very honest about your shortcomings and all that stuff is very hard when you're supposed to protect. It's very hard when you're supposed to be the strong provider. It's very hard when you're supposed to. And so the heart of the father is, you know, obviously we're going to mess up, but that's why God is meant to be in the middle of it. That's why you're married, because you become one flesh, and God intended, obviously, for you to have kids in marriage, but God's also in the middle of that. Like, the vows you take are for, hey, God, look, when I mess up, you are there. You're the one. Your mercies are new every morning. Your grace is sufficient enough. I mean, all those things. And then I thought about it after the first service. I think about when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, my mom and dad were married, and to me, it looked ideal. But I think about it, and I think about, like, being a kid and being raised. I thought my parents did have it all together. And I quickly realized, becoming a parent, they didn't. They were building an airplane in the air. And so I think about that now, and honestly, that gives me a little bit more grace to myself of, like, my kids probably viewing me in that same way of, like, man, Dad really knows what he's talking about a little bit. Now, when they become teenagers, maybe that shifts some, and you all of a sudden become a dummy until they turn 30 like me, and you're like, Mom, you were right all along. You call your parents to apologize for missed phone calls. But I think there's an element of grace that we should offer ourselves. And this is, again, why God is so important to be in the middle of it, is because we are never going to be enough. But with God, we are. In our anxiety series, we're in the middle of the phrase that's always come back since therapy for me was, my experience plus God's presence is enough. And I think about that in my fatherhood. My experience, which is very little, I have a 5 and a 2-year-old, plus God's presence is enough. God being there always makes up the difference. So, Brandon, let me ask you this question. I think I started with Shane with the last one, right? Okay. Brandon, let me ask you this question. I'm going to skip around so y'all going to get a couple of different questions than last time. Sorry, guys. But how does scripture, prayer, and worship, how does that live out in your family life or in your own life that you hope your kids see or that you do to try to connect them through faith?
It goes back to that, I guess, the example that I said earlier. It's in the mornings, the kids know that if they wake up and they can't find me, I'm in my room reading my Bible. And hopefully seeing that sets that into motion of what they're doing. You know, in the mornings when we're getting the kids up, getting them ready for school, eating breakfast, all that, turn on the TV and put on praise music and worship music. You know, put it on in the car so that it becomes very comfortable and very normal to them. It just becomes a part of them, you know, seeing us worship, seeing us read the Bible. We do prayers at night before bed, and that's something that's gotten ingrained with them to the point where if we forget, KK is quick to remind us, hey, we need to say prayers. And it's usually when we're laying in bed and she's trying to sneak a couple of more minutes of staying awake, but she comes in and everybody prays. It's not just mom prays every night or dad prays every night. It's, you know, okay, it's your turn. You pray. So, you know, it gives us all a chance to come to God and thank him for the awesome blessings, thank him for what we've done, off, you know, ask for protection, ask for help for, you know, whoever needs it. But doing those things routinely just makes it commonplace, and it's not it doesn't become weird or awkward, you know, if we're in the car and we need to say a prayer for something or, you know, any of that. If KK's feeling scared at night or if Champ's got a test at school or something that he's anxious about, you know, we can stop and pray in the car, stop, you know, and pray before we leave the house. It's not it just becomes happenstance and lifestyle. It's not it's not odd.
What about you, Joel?
Well, as parents of teenagers, prayer, scripture, and worship is an everyday occurrence. It's normally in the form of, dear God, please help me not to do what I'm wanting to do right now because defects will get called, and I can't handle that right now. Or scripture is normally, children, obey your parents, son. That's what God said. Mm-hmm. And then worship is, praise God, he's actually doing what we're asking them to do.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, one of the things that I've been able to do, and this is the last year my responsibility is driving the kids to school, and this is really the last year that I get to do it because my oldest son will turn 16, and he has the possibility of being able to drive by himself. But one of the things that we did is I started realizing, you know, this is possibly the last year that I get to do this with them. So how can I spend this time, amen, make it worth it? And what we did is wives are awesome, aren't they? My wife got them, amen, these bracelets that they could take their phones and it's got some chip in it and you just stick your phone to it and it brings up a new scripture verse every single day. So I started using that as, hey, what's your scripture verse today?
Yeah.
All right, well, what does that mean to you? All right, what does that mean to you? And then just using that time, and let's be honest, it sounds picture perfect, right? It is not, because there are times when it's struggling to get out of the house. One of them's dragging their feet because, you know, you're telling them to hurry up, and their idea of hurrying up is, oh, I've got to go brush my teeth now, and all of that. But it's not a picture perfect thing. But it's those times that would help us to calm down or help us to focus back on everything. And the reason why I keep on saying it's not picture perfect is because in real life, parenting's not picture perfect. You don't always do it right. But you take those opportunities that you have to be able to invest in them so that later on, you hope that's what they remember.
Right. Well, and I think, Shane, do you have something you want to share on that aspect? Or?
Well, just a small portion. Praise God for men that are men of mourning. I am the worst morning person in the world. The only thing my kids remember from morning, and I have had the pleasure of driving my kids to school in a, like I said in the earlier service, in a cop car. Yeah. It's free gas, but it's on the way to work, but you get a lot of complaints. They're in the back. Not in cuffs, unfortunately.
I bet they were never late.
Yeah.
Light them up.
They were never late.
That police escort.
But my kids remember one thing in the mornings. That's either John Boy and Billy, or Don't Talk to Me, or Five Finger Death Punch. And so I kind of tend to make up for it in the evenings when we started something a long time ago where when we're having dinner, we'll have a kind of like a round table, and we'll usually me or Kara will find a scripture. But as the kids have gotten older, we'll let them find scripture, and it's such a joy to see them lead that worship or them lead that prayer or that discussion, because they are older and they do know more than we do, right? And next time something breaks down in my truck, I'm just going to ask my son what's wrong with it. But it is a joy and a blessing to see that we have that opportunity as men to find that time to, lead and or watch them grow in their faith and lead that, lead it themselves for that worshiper,
We're getting a little closer on time, so I'm going to ask y'all one more question, and then we're going to talk about the opportunity for the men. So my last question for y'all is, what kind of spiritual legacy do you hope to leave for your family, your kids, maybe even grandkids down the road? And anyone can start that one. I'm not going to ask anybody specific. For me, I think one of the spiritual legacies I hope to leave is I hope when my time is over, my kids, the very first thing they represent with me is my love for Christ. I don't want it to be my funeral, celebration of life, whatever they want to plan. I don't want to just hear how much I love them, which I do. I do love my children. I love my wife. I love my family. I want the first words off of their lips to be, man, he was covered in the dust of his rabbi. I mean, just whatever terminology they want to use to share how much I love Jesus. That's what the scriptural legacy I hope I lead. And I hope that when that angel just fell right there, that they landed soft.
So I think what I want my sons to realize is, number one, let God be your identity.
Amen.
There's going to be a lot of uncertainty, but there's always going to be that central point that pulls you back, that anchor point. And that is who God says you are, not your mistakes, not your shortcomings. But God can take all of those things. The Bible says that he can take everything, not just this thing, that thing, but all things, good or bad, and work them out to the good of those who love him.
Amen.
So realize your attitudes, your shortcomings, they don't define you. My shortcomings, my mistakes don't define who they are. I mean, they came back from sold out. And one of the things that made me so proud was, number one, both of them were just so focused on, man, I got to create this playlist of these songs that help me so I can listen to them every day. I'm watching them for the very first time, in praise and worship, engaging, right. Surrendering and raising their hands. And I mean, opening up to their friends and saying, hey, you don't go to church. Let me tell you who Jesus is.
Amen.
I mean, those are things that, I mean, that's what's building their legacy.
Sure.
My legacy, what I want is for them to realize that, number one, I love God. Number two, I love them. And number three, even though I may not have succeeded all the time, I tried the very best that I could.
Amen.
I think I just want them to see that my love for God is displayed through my actions and what I do for those people around me. And the way I live my life, for them to look at it and say that, first and foremost, he was a follower of Christ. Just every one of my actions just to follow that. And that's just kind of where I try and push myself every day. It's just Amen. Everything I do makes it look apparent.
Amen. Do you have something else you want to say?
Well, go right ahead.
No, it's going to take us off the subject. I want to ask something.
Okay.
All right. More than one of us are ADHD. I hope that when I'm gone, that my children and my grandchildren will, not only know the Word of God, but know God. And to know that God is for them and not against them, that his plan is greater than any plan we could ever come up with ourselves, and to just try to live
by God's word and God's plan, you know, continue to stay in his word, because it is a living word. It changes as we change. It changes as we grow and as we age and as we develop as a Christian. No, you know, I've found in my time that no one verse has ever meant the same thing the next time that I read it. And I'm a big proponent of being a very humble and meek person. I'm extroverted. I like to goof off. But when it comes right down to it, I want my children and my family and my grandkids to realize that, you know, God created us for a purpose, and that was for himself and to love one another. You know, God didn't call me, you know, to respect my wife. He called me to love my wife, so that's what I try to do. You know, the Bible says to honor and respect your mother and father, and you'll live a long life. I think I got a couple of days left, but I really want to leave a legacy behind that, you know, instills in my children and in the future generations of my family that, you know, God will put you where he wants you when he wants you. It may not be the authority you want to be under. It may not be where you are that you want to be. But his plan is greater than any plan that we could ever come up with. And that's been my experience. And I hope that my kids have the same thing.
Amen.
And I know you said that was going to be the last question, but you asked us a question in the previous service that I really think is important.
All right.
I know me as a father.
Sure.
Need it.
Which question?
What do you say to the one?
Oh, yeah. What do you say to a man that doesn't feel like they're enough? Because I'm gonna be very honest with you. I think that's very common among dads, is that so many of us don't feel like we're enough. We either chastise too much. We don't set the example we hope to set. You can name a plethora. And so I think you're right. Yeah, I think it's worth all of us hearing this, is that as a man, as a spiritual role model, I'm a pastor of a church. I fully trust that God has given me the gifts and talents to lead y'all and shepherd you well. I hold a lot of shame personally because I don't feel like I do that well at home. And I'm someone who I feel confident about doing it at a church. But my own house, I feel hard. Like, that's very hard. So what would you say to someone?
The first thing that I would say is, if you're asking that question, you're doing a lot more than you think you are.
Amen.
Because the people who don't do enough, the people who don't do enough don't care that they're not doing enough.
Right.
So if that's your worry, you're already doing a lot more than you think you are. And don't take for granted that you think that they know that you love them. Make sure you tell them that you love them. Sometimes it's going to be heated, and it may not be the best time. But take those moments when it's calm, when out of nowhere, you just text and say, hey, I just want you to know I love you.
Amen.
Wrap them in a hug. Because there's coming a day. This is the first Father's Day.
Yeah.
That I've had without my dad. And there's coming a day that all you want to do is just hear, I love you, son. Mm-hmm. So take those opportunities now to make sure. See, I didn't do this in the first service.
It's because you asked the question. See, you flip it up. I asked the question, you would have held it together.
It's my fault, you're right. But there's coming a time when you're not going to be there to tell them that.
That's right.
And you want to leave that for them. And then enjoy the moments. Whether you have young kids, enjoy when they come up and snuggle, because you never know when that's going to be the last snuggle.
Right.
I know I've got my kids, and they're teenagers right now, but they're in the house with me.
Amen.
You don't know when it's going to be the last time that they, or the time that they move on to college, or they move out of the house and they're no longer there. Or if they're coming home and they're sharing time with you, with your grandkids, you never know.
Right.
So just enjoy all of those times.
Well, I think that's a good segue, especially for us to talk about, because I think most of us, at least, I haven't met a father yet who feels like he's doing enough or batting 1,000. And so One of the other things that we would encourage you as dads, us especially, only because it's been so great for me, is to get surrounded by some individuals that you can share your shortcomings with. Like, we've got a little group text going on with us and one more that, I mean, there's been moments just in the last couple of months as we've discerned the next steps of what we're going to talk about soon, where we've had to put in that group text, hey, guys, pray for me because today is not – today the devil's winning. And I need somebody else to stand. I need an Aaron to hold my arms up like Moses, you know. There's days like that. And like I said earlier, it's really hard to share that with your spouse. I mean, there's things I'm very open with my wife. I try to be humble, open, and transparent. But there's certain weaknesses of mine that I struggle to lay at her feet. And so I've got a group of men, y'all being included, obviously, that I can say, guys, I need some help. Like, brother, I can't do this. I mean, even doing the slides right now today was Wayne Gasser. I've already tacked Wayne Gasser into helping me with a woodworking project just because I'm a ding-dong. I don't know how to do it, but I want my wife to have wooden shutters, you know, like stuff like that. But, I mean, that's very tongue-in-cheek, but really, we are a community. That's what the church is this community of believers that come together to be a family. And yeah, so
it's – she's not here, so I can say this and not her not get big-headed. But my wife's my best friend, like, hands down. Yeah. That's why I married her. But she's not in the same position in life that I am in. You know, sure. She's not called to be a father. She's not called to be a husband.
Yep.
Her role in the world is very different than mine. And Amen. So, like, us here, that's who I can go to that has a similar spot in life, you know. Right. We're all fathers, we're all husbands, we're all men of God, and you got to have that kind of community.
Amen. And so that's why I asked these guys to sit up here with me. I had a guy in the first service was like, why didn't you ask me to be up there? I was like, well, very pointed. So I asked these guys specifically. In February this year, we did an onboarding for me to get to know the culture of the Ridge. And one of the things that Shane brought up, and I'm name dropping him because he did it, he told the gentleman, hey, I want to see something for men. I want to see something come alive for men. Our women do a great women's conference. Y'all have women's things throughout the year, which are just incredibly empowering. And y'all have a Facebook group that's really supportive. I mean, just all these things. There's like an email chain that I'm not allowed to be a part of because I'm not a woman. But y'all are so supportive of one another. And we were like, let's do something like that for men where we dive deep into the God's Word. But also, not only are we diving deep into God's Word, but there's a space for us to be humble and vulnerable before one another. And to be able to hold each other's burdens before the Lord. And so if y'all wouldn't mind, would y'all mind sharing about kind of what that looks like or what that thought was? I mean, Shane, you're kind of the ringleader, so it might be you, brother.
I'm the ringleader. Thank God it's not a circus.
yeah.
Thank you all for your testimony. That was absolutely wonderful. And that's what I'm trying to get at or what I was trying to get at whenever we talked during that onboarding is I find a lot of men, just like most of us have said, you know, just like you, and I'm sure you and you, my wife is absolutely my best friend. I don't have a best friend outside of my wife. I've got some guys that I would call friends, but they are not best friends, and we will not be going on beach trips together. I do not know how women do it. We're going on a girls' trip. We're not going on a guys' trip. Sorry.
There's a men's retreat that's going to happen at some point. Cut Shane out, I guess.
So, yeah, cut Shane out. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But what I really meant was probably what I think a lot of men were thinking, is as men, it really is hard to open up to your spouse or to, especially to other men, about things that you really struggle with or things that you may not think someone can empathize or sympathize with that you're going through. Like, you know, I come from a background of first responders. I've seen a lot of stuff in my day and time, and I've only been doing it right at 19 years, but it's rough and it's tough. Military, fire, EMS, Marines, all the above. You know, you see so much. And then not only that, but then people that grow up in homes where, you know, there's abuse, there's physical abuse, substance abuse. There's so much that goes on in this, you know, godly made world, but ungodly people full of it, that I think that men need a little more of an opportunity to reach out to other men. So the idea, and we've talked a good bit about it, especially during the onboarding, And it was very, I was kind of shocked, honestly. I thought I was going to be met with a little bit of hesitation, but where men can come together, kind of like the women would, there I go again, talking in tongues, but come together and have meetings where we can discuss, you know, men of the Bible and how, you know, and how those men did it, and then how we can learn from them and how we can continue to grow and then develop into not just a men's ministry group where we go out to eat and we watch movies and stuff like that, but where we can have those down to heart talks in smaller groups where we can continue to develop the men's ministry into small groups, where if Joel or Brandon or I or any one of you are leading a small group, where someone in your small group can call you and say, "Hey, I'm having a really bad day. I've messed up," or whatever it is. I just need an ear and I need a prayer. And that's what we're trying to get at, is we're still going to have that 10 to tool man Taylor moment where we go out and build something with our hands and you know, it's not what he sounds like. Doesn't matter than I did.
Tried your best.
I tried. But we're still going to have moments like that. We're still going to have things where, of course, we can get together and do things. I don't want to take that away because that is a wonderful thing. From what I hear, ladies, it's bunko, right? Like, I've heard some wild bunko stories. It's crazy. Like, I don't want to be part of bunko. It's too fast-paced for me. I'll see a squirrel. But that's what we're trying to get at. We're trying to get at, you know, starting the group, transforming into a smaller group to where we can have a resource as men, to where when we have those moments where we feel less than, or right, what do we do in this instance, or why does my 17-year-old know more than I do, we can come to each other and have that heartfelt moment and not feel so ashamed to be vulnerable and hopefully have a godly man on that other side help us.
Amen.
And let's be honest, it's not going to be one of those situations where you come in and you have to cry before you leave. We're still going to do dude stuff. But let's be honest. As guys, we've been told, handle it. Whatever it is, whether it's the car, whether it's, you know, figuring out, you know, where we've got to go or all these things, just handle it. Or you got to handle what's inside. Just handle it. And we're not allowed or haven't been allowed to really let it go. Sometimes you just pack it down and pack it down and pack it down. And especially people that are in these stages of life, whether it be a first responder or in the military, there are things that you got to let go or they're going to eat you alive.
Right.
And that's what the purpose is. That's what we want you to know, is we're not coming in and saying, all right, you got to cry. We're going to sing Kumbaya and hold hands. No, we're going to be guys, but it's okay when you are in the presence of people that you trust.
Right.
To be able to let it go. That's what we want to be, because the Bible says, was it Proverbs 27? 17?
I don't know what verse you're trying to get to.
I think it's 27:17. We're going to go with that one. Iron sharpens iron.
Oh, okay.
As iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. And let's be honest. As guys, spiritually, we're dulled by whatever it is that we've experienced. And sometimes, you got to go to that cut or that sharpened stone, and sometimes it requires some tears to get sharpened. And it's okay. And that's what I think the main thing is it's okay. And we want you to know that it's okay. Well, because that's it's about healing.
Well, and it's a part of the church that gets forgotten. I mean, if I've got to be fair as a church leader, the women are doing a lot of the serving. I love you all. Please don't stop. Women are doing a lot. And over recent years, you've had kind of men step out of those roles. But we're called to lead from that role. And so I'm excited about it, because the greatest move I've ever experienced personally of Jesus in my life, John Wesley, who's the founder of Methodism, believed in band meetings. And it was a group of about 4 to 6 people that got together, and they answered questions like, how is it with your soul? Do you have any unconfessed sin that you want to confess? And I love those things, because I think that we have to do that. It's hard to do it with people that you're called to protect and serve and to do all those things with. And so getting this group of guys. Y'all have been this for me over the last few months, and I'm incredibly grateful. And so we're looking to start something mid to late July. It's going to be our first meeting, so get ready to come hang out with us. Matter of fact, read your newsletter, and you'll find out. That's the thing I keep telling y'all to do. But that's the reason why these gentlemen are up here, is because they've been essential in my walk with Jesus for these last few months. But also, they are some truly amazing dads. And I know that they don't feel it. I know at times you feel like failures. But I've watched these men pray, love, and care for their children. And in some cases, who aren't even their own birth children. And I've watched y'all lead with integrity. And I'm incredibly thankful to be sitting up on stage with them. And so I want to encourage you, church, for let's be plugged in, men especially. The Lord, God needs you, not just in your family's life. Statistics will show that where a dad is involved with Christ, their children are 92% more likely to go to church, to attend church as they get older. They may fall off in the college years, but they'll come back. They're just more likely to be surrounded in a good format, be vastly more successful, hold more successful job roles, what all those things, when the man is fully present in that role. And so we want to encourage you men to get plugged in. Join our group that we're going to be starting later this summer, and let's do life together, because the two things we share every Sunday, Ridge wants you to know you're loved by God, but then we also want you to experience the love of a church family. So let us be that for you today. If you don't mind, I'm going to pray for us. I've got a handful of announcements, and then I'm going to dismiss y'all to go have an awesome Father's Day. Do y'all have any final things y'all want to say, or are y'all good? Would y'all take a moment and just say thank you to these guys up on stage with me? I'll tell you, men don't like doing this kind of stuff, so I'm very appreciative to these guys for being willing. But let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these guys that sit on the stage with me. I thank you for men who walk a life of integrity, who are covered in the dust of their rabbis. I thank you for those who are under my breath, whether watching online or in person or in the control room. Lord, I just pray that we may leave different than we walked in. That for those of us who had questions about being father figures, that we leave knowing that someone is looking to us to represent Jesus. When my life, Lord, kind of fell apart in 2010 because of my parents' divorce and just other things, there were men who stepped up and represented Christ at a whole nother level that I had not seen in a long time. Lord, throughout my life personally, you've brought different men along to share the gospel. You've brought different women that embody the love of Jesus, and I'm just so thankful. So I pray for everybody in this room that they could be that for someone else, or that they could experience that themselves. I especially pray for those that this year is the first Father's Day that you're without your dad. Lord, I pray that they may experience this Father's Day with your peace and comfort, to know that they may not have their father here physically, but they remain having a cheerleader in the balcony who cheers them on from the eternity of heaven in your presence. And I just pray for this men's ministry, men's small group, whatever we want to call it, men's advance, whatever it's coming to be, Lord, I thank you for going on ahead and stirring that and filling it with the Spirit and just anointing it. So let it be what you're calling it to be, and let us be a church that is honestly redeemed in such a way that our community just questions how. So in the name of Jesus, I pray all these things. Amen.